Whoa, wait a minute, huh? Hold up, what? Oh, okay. Did we just lose to the f***ing Canucks?
Halford and Bruff.
Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on the ice?
But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king.
What? Record levels almost of house positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
Back to Hamonic on the right wing. He tips it in deep. Gets it for Miller behind the goal. He'll play right circle. Nils Höglander settles, shoots and scores. Quick release from Nils Höglander as he snaps it over the shoulder of Mikko Koskinen. And the Canucks lead 1-0. 31 seconds into the game. Now here's a turnover, a chance in the slot. Quick wrist shot through the middle. Jace Harlech, that was blocked. Then a second chance, they score. It's Jack Rathbone, his first NHL goal as he followed up the play, ripped it past Koskinen, and the Canucks lead 2-0.
Tried to make a move away from McDavid. Puck bounced off a stick into the slot. Then it's thrown back to the goal. They score off the right wing. As Mikko Koskinen has had a tough start to this hockey game. Nate Schmidt with a shot for the point. Hit Harlech in front. He sweeps the rebound to the goal. He scores. Jace Harlech beats Mikko Koskinen between the legs. Koskinen smashes his stick over his post. That's four goals on four shots. And Vancouver's up 4-0 with 7:38 left in the first. And here comes Mike Smith.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah, I stabbed a man in the heart.
I saw that.
Jace Harlech
killed a guy.
Here come the Canucks in the zone. They score. Shot off the left wing right along the goal line. Tyler Graevac elevates it above Mike Smith.
Pearson in the right corner. Takes a pass from Besser. Back into the slot. Brock Besser shoots and scores.
Besser through the middle extends his goal streak to 3 games as the Canucks go back up by 3. It's 6-3.
I'm proud of you fellas. You all kept your head on a swivel, and that's what you got to do when you find yourself in a vicious cockfight.
Here are your hosts, Mike Halford and Jason Bruff.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:02 on a Friday. Sweet, sweet Friday. It is Halford, it is Bruff, it is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
Caffeinated and ready to roll.
Woo! It's a Friday, folks. Big show ahead.
I was wondering if we were ever going to hear the, do we just lose to the Canucks guy again this season?
The effing Canucks. We're allowed to say effing Canucks because it's 6:03 in the morning. Mm-hmm. There's no children awake right now. And if they are, why?
Okay. Regardless, they won a game last night.
They did. Yay.
Okay. So how many of you out there, when the Canucks went up 4-0 and the Oilers quickly got 2? How many of you were like, oh boy, here we go?
And how many of you were quietly cheering for said comeback because you bet on BCLC for the Canucks to lose
or
their
just,
final 10 games of the season?
Or just to see McDavid get closer to 100 points. Like, I'm a Canucks fan, mm-hmm. but you need 4 more points to get to 100? Mm-hmm. I think it'd be kind of funny if you did it all on Saturday.
Well, I mean, he got 3 last night in very demure fashion.
Yeah. Right?
And as a matter of fact, at NHL.com, that was the lead mm-hmm. of the story. Connor McDavid got 3 points. Also, the Canucks won the hockey game. And that was that.
So he's at 96 points?
He is at 96
points. Okay, he's at 96 points. Not everyone, but people will remember Gretzky when he was going for 50 goals in 50 games mm-hmm. in his 39th game. I think he scored 5 goals to get to 50.
I don't recall the exact total.
He went with 45 or 46 and scored 4 or 5 goals in his 39th. So people are like, when's he gonna do it? Mm-hmm. And then Gretzky was like, "How about tonight?
Is this gonna be like Kobe's last game? Rest in peace. Where they just give the puck to McDavid in the final game and just hope he gets all the points.
Well, if he's not there, right?" If he gets to 100, then nobody cares. Like, there's no difference between 100 and 104. Like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, at that point, like, oh, who cares? Kobe's was more like, let's see where we can get him to in his final game. And no one seemed to mind. That was the thing. Everyone was just played along. Everyone played their part, right? Like, I feel like the Canucks could play their part on Saturday. They did last night. They went out and won the hockey game, but they still allowed him to get – he got his 3 points.
Yeah,
right?
Confirmation from the Dunbar Lumber text line. Thank you for that. It was 5 goals. And yes, the empty netter against Philly Mm-hmm. Also, a text from Jay Cook. How is negative Nancy Jason Brough going to spin this win? I'm sorry, have I been negative about the Canucks?
Also, you'll have to wait and see. Before
they
get
were in, outshot pretty badly.
There you go. There he is. 6:05 in the morning. He arrives on the scene.
If you look at the final Corsi numbers, the Canucks did not deserve to win this game.
It's true.
How is negative Nancy Jason Brough going to spin this win? Again, you're right. Actually, you're right. The Canucks have done a great job with everything. You're right. Sorry. I'm not going to argue with the Dunbar Lumber text line at 6:06 on a Friday. I'm out of here in 3 hours.
It's true. Not even. 2 hours and 54 minutes. Do you own your home, dear listeners? All of you in listener land right now? If you do, I have news for you. Dun, dun, dun. Alpine Credits can get your loan approved. That's right. Alpine Credits homeowners get approved. I don't know who wrote this. It's not very good. Visit alpinecredits.ca for more. Homeown, loan. That's all you need to know. Okay. We have a lot to get to on this program today. Still, the New York Rangers remain the talking point in the National Hockey League. So at 6:30, we'll speak to one of our many NHL insiders here at Sportsnet. Jeff Merrick is going to join us on the Halford and Brough Show. We'll go around the NHL with Jeff. I think we can maybe lament the fact that there's no playoff chases. There's nothing. There maybe if you're intrigued by the jockeying for positions and who might face who in the opening round, but there's nothing.
We keep hoping. We do keep hoping.
For something. The best race in the NHL right now is for fifth place in the North Division.
That's right.
Calgary, Vancouver, and Ottawa.
Don't sleep on those Sens.
Nobody wants it.
I guess the Discover Central, and that I just discovered this,
we call it the Disco Guys? Should we not stay on brand?
We kind of started calling it the Disco, but then we never talked about it throughout the year. We just were like, I still am not 100% sure what teams are in it. But the chase is still technically alive for the final playoffs.
Okay, but the matchups have been set. So let's go through the divisions here. It's going to be Carolina versus Nashville probably in the first round, unless it's Dallas instead of Nashville. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much definitely going to be Tampa and Florida.
The Battle of Florida. Feel the excitement.
In the Honda West, Vegas, Colorado, Minnesota, and probably St. Louis.
Yeah.
Are going to play each other, and it's probably going to be Colorado versus Minnesota, Vegas versus St. Louis.
The Alex Pietrangelo revenge series.
In the East, the four teams have been decided, but there is some seeding. Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, and the New York Islanders. Who knows about matchups there?
I believe I read yesterday that based on strength of schedule, like I think I got a couple games left versus the Sabres, that everyone's anticipating Pittsburgh will finish atop, and it will be Washington and Boston in the first round.
Okay. And then in the North... it is, well, I guess Winnipeg finally got a win and Montreal doesn't look very good. So it's probably going to be Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. But who knows on that. But everything else, like we're not going to have that final game of the season for a playoff spot.
No.
Which kind of stinks.
Yeah, I know. The one game, that race in the Central between Dallas and Nashville, I believe they played their sort of big, this is going to go one way or the other game last weekend on Saturday night. And Nashville emerged a victor, thereby kind of putting that one away. So,
okay, so Jeff Merrick.
Jeff Merrick, 6:30. 7 o'clock, John Shorthouse. Going to try again. Try again.
Is Shorty over whatever happened last week?
What do you mean over? He hung up on
us. That's what I'm talking about. Is he?
He says he didn't.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. He says that you hung up on him.
How could I have done that?
Well, you have the power to
twice.
Hang up on people.
Yeah, but why would I?
I don't know.
Is he going to be a grown
up? Crazy.
Is Shorty going to be a grown up?
We don't know.
This week.
I mean, it's John Shorthouse. Likely no.
It's also early.
Like, this has gone from, for me personally, this has gone from the first couple weeks it was a bit of a screw up, like that was on us, to like, is it going to get ugly with Shorty?
Don't know.
On this show?
That's why you listen.
We have enough enemies in the media business. I didn't think Shorty would become one of them.
We're in an uncomfortable position. It's like two countries that don't quite trust each other and are a little bit acrimonious internationally. That's where we're at right now. I'm trying to think of two countries.
We're like Slovakia and Hungary.
Sure. Do they got beef?
Yeah. I speak from experience.
Yeah.
Would you like to get into it right now? Does it go way back?
Yeah, traditionally, yeah.
It's a traditional beef.
It is.
It's seasoned.
My mom is Hungarian. My dad is Slovak. I've been well versed in this.
Are the
anyway? I just wanted to fill in the gap there.
Do the countries border each other?
I don't know. Yeah, they do.
I assume the fight is over farmland mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Historical things. I don't know.
Right. 600 years ago, there was a fair maiden the rulers of each country loved.
That's right. And one of them offered 3 lambs, and one of them offered 4. And it went from there. Okay, so we got Shorty at seven. Reunited, and it feels so good, at 7:30, because there's nothing better to do at 7:30 in the morning on a Friday than start talking about your drinking. Thunder Joe Leary.
Oh,
Thunder.
Yeah.
I just started calling him Thunder Joe Leary one day. You remember when you'd go to a basketball game at GM Place back in the day?
No, I was not old enough to go to a basketball game.
Work with me here. You're wearing a Vancouver Grizzlies shirt.
I am.
For Christ's sakes. What the hell is wrong with you? I hate you poser children. Anyway, sorry. It's true.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd go to a game and the visiting team would score and they'd have to announce it, but they would do it in a very like monotone way.
Yeah.
So it would be like 2 points for whoever. And then for some reason, it was like, Thunder Dan Marley. So for some reason, I was like, I just started, I was like, Thunder Joe Leary. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think Joe plays basketball. Anyway, Joe's going to be here, just here for the beer radio. We used to do this at 10:40 back in the day. Mm-hmm. We used to be the beer guys. We were on 9 to noon. It was perfect timing, right? Get off the air at noon, go have a beer. It's more challenging now because we're off the air at 9 o'clock in the morning. But that will not keep us down. Joe Leary, just here for the beer at 7:30. 8 o'clock, Dan Murphy, Sportsnet's very own.
Okay.
Happy belated birthday to him, by the way.
Yeah, Burf's 51.
Sorry, who?
Murph is 51.
I thought you said Burf.
Why would I say Burf?
By accident?
It did sound like Burf.
Okay, whatever. But I think everyone understands that Burf would mean Murph in that instance. No?
Yeah.
No?
No, I did.
No? Okay, good. Burf is 51. Happy birthday, Murph. Anyway, it is his birthday. We'll have him on at 8. Thunder Joe Leary at 7:30. Shorty at 7 and Jeff Merrick at 6:30. That's what's happening on the show today. Also, it's Ask Us Anything Friday. Always fun, except for the people that wanted to hear about sports, in which case, go to one of the many other stations in this network, this family. So News 11:30, you can keep it there. Kiss FM.
I love Kiss FM.
Do you?
Kiss FM is actually my station in the car.
It's
not even 6:50.
Yeah. Kiss, number one.
No, Kiss FM is awesome. They play all sorts of 80s songs. It's like my station.
Okay, is that the station mantra, like 80s? Is that what they do? I don't know.
It's the top 40 station.
No, it's not.
Yes,
96.9 FM is not current top 40.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
96.9?
That's Jack FM, bro.
That's Jack FM.
Oh, Jack FM. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yikes.
Jack FM is kind of like we play whatever we want.
Yeah, that's the Drexceptional.
Sorry.
Radio station.
Right. That's what I meant.
We'll make a Drexception for you.
It doesn't matter. 96.9, whatever it's
still
called.
In the family. That's the important thing. So when we do Ask Us Anything Friday and you don't like it, go listen to Drex at 96.9. Mm-hmm. Keep in the family. That's
he won't talk sports either.
Yeah, guaranteed he's not going to talk sports. So
maybe Aussie Rules football.
That's what's coming up today on the program. It's a big show.
He's a huge fan of Geelong. Isn't that in the...
Nope. None of us
are you talking about Grant Long? former Grizzly? Grant Long?
No, in Aussie Rules football.
I you know what?
Nobody
I'm okay.
Got that
I'm
joke.
Okay pleading ignorance.
Sydney Swans?
Sydney Swans sounds like they're from Australia.
All I know is the Rabbitohs.
I don't know any Australian Football League teams.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Never mind. Carry on.
Let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
You missed that?
What happened?
As mentioned in the intro, Canucks win! Canucks win! Canucks win! Connor McDavid had 3 assists. I swear to God, that was the lead on NHL.com. Not that the Canucks snapped a lengthy losing streak. Well, McDavid did have 3 assists. He's now on 96, as we pointed out. But the Edmonton Oilers lost 6-3 to the Vancouver Canucks at Rogers Place, not Rogers Arena, on Thursday night. Nils Höglander scored 31 seconds into the game. Travis Hamonic with his first goal as a Vancouver Canuck and got the Gordie Howe hat trick. Jace Harluck with his first goal as a Vancouver Canuck. Brock Besser with his team-leading 20th. Actually, it was Harluck's second goal, sorry. But it was also a first goal for J-Bone.
J-Bone. J-Bone is, believe it or not, he's getting married.
What?
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser! Good. Good. More for me and you.
J-Bone scores. Canucks win 6-3. Leon Draisaitl scored twice. I almost want to go right to the Mikko Koskinen thing because I think that was maybe the funniest thing of the day, but maybe we'll back burner it for a bit because we should talk about the game itself.
That was the story of the game, wasn't it? Koskinen allowing four goals on the first four shots.
And according to the television,
loved that.
Is it Chiron or Chiron? I never know.
Chiron,
thank you. Four goals on three shots. That was up there for a while.
So, I thought you were going to say the statistic that Shorty mentioned, which was he's the first goalie to allow four goals on his first four shots in the first period since Don Beaupre.
Very good. 1989. Only three goalies in NHL history. Don Beaupre, who I completely forgot about until hearing his name last night.
That was an awesome spaz, too. Yeah, that was a great temper tantrum. We've seen some elite temper tantrums just in this Edmonton series alone. Yep. J.T. Miller after his giveaway to Connor McDavid, elite temper tantrum.
Smashy, smashy.
Mikko Koskinen, that was terrific.
He kind of wound up to start it off, and he gave you like a preview of what was to come. My kid was sitting beside me. I'm like, watch, he's going to smash a stick.
Do you think those goalie sticks are easier to break if you hit them in the right place than a regular stick?
The narrow part to the width.
Exactly, because you've got some weight at the end. I wonder.
Here's the thing. I think in the manner in which all goalies break their sticks, notice with a goalie, none of them ever do the ice smash. They almost always go exclusively crossbar.
They have props they're going to use.
Or post.
Right.
Yeah, but most... But
an ice smash
skaters,
would be tough.
Right.
An ice smash would be very difficult, I think.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but goalie sticks are still somewhat wooden, are they not?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have to ask Woodley.
I'm
sure he'd know the components.
Apologize.
Yeah. Kevin
right
Woodley
down.
Spent 23 minutes breaking down the composite of that stick. In great detail, I might add. Koskinen's freakout was good. The Canucks kind of broke him yesterday. Mm-hmm. In the aftermath, Dave Tippett only put two of the four goals on Koskinen, in case anyone's curious.
Oh, just half of them.
Yeah, that's right. But four goals on four shots. The game was over at that point. Although the Canucks did their best to make it interesting. God bless them. Now, here's something interesting. I come in this morning, I'm like, Dom, do we have any good audio from last night? Because, it's a meaningless win. Yes, they got off the schneid. It's a six-game losing streak that is no longer. No one wanted to see the team, except for those who bet on it. No one wanted to see the team lose their final 10 games of the season. Do we have any good audio, Dom? And Dom responds with, yeah. From Tyler Graevac.
Really?
Of all people, Tyler Graevac, who I didn't think a lot about either prior, during, or after the game. But Dom said he was very upbeat and very well-spoken after the victory.
Yeah, he was on with Gene Principe. And he was just...
You know why? That's why. Gene puts everybody in a good mood.
And you never hear from Tyler Graevac, but just listen to how jovial he is in this interview.
I think tonight was the biggest thing was... It seemed like the guys were wanting to have fun. They were excited from puck drop. It's been a little bit of a year, and we had to kind of change things up. And it was definitely intense. It's always intense playing an NHL game, especially when you don't get a lot of them. But great overall win from everybody.
At what point did you decide to try and shoot that puck, which eventually turned into a goal, and one of those goals that you don't see very often?
I don't know. Maybe I just got a little restless. Didn't see the ice much, but I felt there was an opportunity. The centerman kind of gave me a lane to go forward and just shoot the puck, and I'm happy that it went in.
It has been successful for you against the Edmonton Oilers. Is it a team that you just find that things seem to click for you when you're up against them?
Not necessarily. I said to the guys earlier, I think I have half of my career goals in this building. For me, it's just been staying patient, keeping my wingers going. I got some speedy guys, so if I can just stay in the middle and keep them flying, we've shown some success. So,
Tyler, congratulations on the goal, the win, and thanks for your time.
Yeah, if I can just give a shout out to my family, my parents and my grandma and everyone up in Cornwall. So just thank you guys for everything.
And that was the happiest any Canuck had been throughout the entire 2021 campaign.
Tyler Gravac, happy to be here.
Without question. Just the happiest guy on the planet right now.
Another guy that, well, I think he was maybe the best player on the ice for the Canucks last night was Travis Hamonic.
Very good.
Gordie Howe hat trick for Travis Hamonic.
Yep.
Hit a goal, a goal assist, and a fight. And his assist was very unlike Travis Hamonic in that it was on the forecheck. It was the first goal the Canucks scored. Travis Hamonic, first man in on the forecheck.
Pucks in deep, boys.
Does a great job, gets it to JT Miller, who gets it to Nils Höglander, and 31 seconds in, Travis Hamonic was ready to roll. He's like, boys, I'm getting in on the forecheck. Let's roll tonight.
Let's do this!
And it brings us to our poll question, because I think Travis Hamonic's game has really, really improved since the beginning of the season.
Right.
When I think, to be fair, and we weren't very hard on him at all for this reason, the guy hadn't played hockey in a long, long time. He didn't get a training camp. Mm-hmm. And then he's on a new team with Quinn Hughes as his defensive partner. So you have to get used to playing with a guy like Quinn Hughes. And he didn't look very good, right?
He was thrust. I'd say thrust into the lineup.
He was like, you haven't played hockey for a while. We're not going to give you any preseason games.
Right.
No training camp. The team isn't very good. Good luck.
Yeah, go get him, Tiger.
Our poll question today is, should the Canucks extend Travis Hamonic and Alex Edler? Both these veteran defensemen are pending UFAs. Obviously different salaries, but we can talk about that in a bit. So the options are yes to both, only Edler, only Hamonic, or neither. And this is very interesting results here. 330 votes on Twitter. Only Hamonic has 49% of the vote.
That's what I voted for.
Yes to both has 31%. Neither has 14%, and only Edler has 6.4%. So only 37% of you, if you add it up, want the Canucks to extend Alex Edler. For the record, I don't think Alex Edler, if he is going to get extended, is going to make the same salary. Like, he's not making $6 million. So it does obviously depend on what their salaries are. I think the Edler number could be pretty interesting, right? Because I could see it at, I don't know, $4 million, but I could also see it at $2 million. Hamonic is not going to get much money.
And he also wants to stay in Western Canada?
So you might, so does Edler, right?
I hate using this as like a leverage point. But, well, here's the thing with Edler before we move on to Rathbone, who we need to get scored his first NHL goal yesterday. I said a couple days ago, can you envision a world where Edler and Green both come back and Edler is not deployed in a role that he's probably not physically capable of doing? So meaning like a top four role, significant minutes. I think a certain section of the fan base, and this includes me at this point, is kind of the Chris Tanev of last year, where it's like, you just got to let him go. We just need something different. We just need to move on from this.
You can't give him the Char contract?
Nope.
Really?
I think Boston did the right thing, to be honest, because Char in Boston is different than Char in Washington. Char in Boston is, well, you can't disrespect him like this. He's been here for too long. And I think Travis Green sometimes puts out Edler in the shutdown role just because that's what he's always done. I'm not even joking,
right? I would like to see the Canucks at least pursue another top four defenseman. I don't know if they'll be able to get it done. Maybe something pops out of the expansion draft from a team that can't protect a guy, so the Canucks are able to get that player. But if they...
I just think it's time to move on. I just really do.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't think there's a particular – you're going to come with, well, what are you going to do to replace him? How are you going to fix it?
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're talking about.
Same thing with Tanev. Yeah. It's like they didn't have a ready-made replacement for Tanev. They went out and got Hamonic to do something similar.
Right.
But it was more about we just need to move on, right? And I think Edler's in that category now.
Well, let's bring the conversation to Jack Rathbone because a lot of people are saying, well, Rathbone has looked pretty good. He looked good last night. Maybe, just maybe, he can get up to speed and be a top four defenseman for the Canucks. Now, I think that would be extremely risky, for example, to go into next season with the left side of Quinn Hughes, Jack Rathbone and Ole Ulevi. I'm very curious about the future for Ole Ulevi, by the way. Can't get into a game.
I know.
Down the stretch. Coaching staff clearly doesn't trust Ole Ulevi, but that's another topic, perhaps for another day. Mm-hmm. Jack Rathbone, what a terrific story he's been. Already into the NHL. Where was he drafted?
Fourth round.
Fourth round?
Yep.
I mean, this could be the best pick. This could be the best pick of this regime as far as, you know, after the first round.
Unearthing a diamond in the rough.
Was Judd Brackett responsible for that? Should we?
Who's to say?
Should we do that? Who's to say, really? Yeah.
Who's to say in this crazy world that we live in? Who knows? We got a lot to get into on this program, though.
We'll get to more Jack Rathbone talk later.
J-Bone! We're going to do that after Jeff Merrick. We're going to do some boning after Jeff Merrick.
Okay. That'll be,
it's perfect, really. I have to tell you, this. I don't know how much longer this is going to run for, so pay close attention. Do you want to be the envy of your neighborhood? Do you want your neighbors to look at you and be like, man, I want to be that guy or gal? If so, Craftsman and Sportsnet are teaming up to give one lucky winner the chance to win $20,000 in cash and Craftsman tools and storage to create their own dream garage. Ooh, a garage. To enter for your chance to win the Craftsman Dream Garage content, visit sportsnet.ca/craftsman. Enter weekly to increase your chances. No purchases necessary. The contest ends June 20th, 2021. See full rules for details. Craftsman tools are available at Lowe's, at Rona stores across Canada, and at Amazon.ca. Jeff Merrick coming up next. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. On a Friday, Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Do you own your home? If so, Alpine Credits can get your loan approved. Alpine Credit homeowners get approved. Have I mentioned that before? Visit alpinecredits.ca for more. Let's go straight to the phone lines. Joining us on the program, happy to have him back, Sportsnet's very own Jeff Merrick here on the Halford Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
I am well. How is everything in my second favorite province? How's that? Where my sister lives.
Where does your sister live?
She's on the island.
Nice.
Duncan.
And two, what is your number one province?
Come on, boys.
Come on.
I'm loyal to Ontario. Okay, I'm just alienating myself from your listeners.
I was hoping you were going to go off the board. But
I do love you know what? I love Quebec. Yeah. I love that province. Haven't traveled extensively through the Maritimes. Always wanted to go to Newfoundland, never been there, been pretty much everywhere else. Really like New Brunswick. Only been to Saskatchewan a couple of times, spent a lot of time in Alberta, a little bit in Manitoba. But if it wasn't Ontario, BC would be the place for me. It's weird, too, because whenever I come back after visiting, I'm always finding myself looking up into the sky, looking for mountains.
Yes.
Where none appear. I don't know if you ever had that phenomenon. Like, where did all the mountains go?
When we were, I remember when we were at NBC and we'd go to new locales and I'd look around, I'd be like, oh, this place is dumb. Get me back to Vancouver as quickly as possible. It's so flat and there's nothing green anywhere.
You got to go to Newfoundland, Jeff. My mom's from St. John's. I've been a few times. It's awesome.
I've been invited so many times and I've always missed out. And it's on my list of things to do. Like one of these days, I'm just going to do a total East tour with the family. Like, I don't know where we're going to get the time considering the kids play so much sports, but that's what I want to do. Just load up and just drive and go through all the provinces out East and finish up in Newfoundland.
Well, you know, we started off asking how are things in this fine province of British Columbia, and they're okay. The Canucks won last night. We've kind of digested it, but with you, and I know Dom maybe led you astray.
No.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You acknowledge your mistake. We move on to the New York Rangers. The story of the week, I think, now. It's Friday, and it feels like the Rangers have been in the news every single day. And yesterday was interesting because, as if we didn't have enough things to chew on here, Dolan, the owner, decided to speak publicly. And now you got to remember, like, out here, we don't get that a whole heck of a lot. Francesco Aquilini and the group of owners do not talk publicly.
Well, he spoke to one reporter, Larry Brooks, at the New York Post, right?
But that's still a lot. And he was very candid in his remarks. Yeah. Now, it's funny because in doing so, And this is what I think we sometimes lament here is when ownership doesn't speak, you don't get a real idea of what was going on and you don't get clarity. I felt like Dolan speaking to Larry Brooks gave clarity because to me, it really sort of answered the question. This whole thing was about keeping Chris Drury and the esteem that he held Chris Drury in.
Yeah. The one thing that I got out of the comments, and you're right too, like when you don't speak, you sort of, it's not as if the conversation goes away, you just create more problems for yourself, right? Like that's, that's the story of, you know, when general managers go in hiding or only do interviews after wins, that's when, you know, ownership goes into hiding, but you know, the conversation won't stop and it actually gets worse for you. So it's probably the best thing to do. Is to get out there and have comment and try to control as much as you can how the story is going to be shaped. The one thing that I took away from Dolan's comments with Larry Brooks was that Glenn Sather's more in charge here than we think.
Yep.
That Glenn, there's an affinity towards Glenn Sather that has been there for years, has probably always existed, and as much as he has a sort of man in the shadows role and has for the past however many years in the Rangers organization, do you guys not get the sense that this doesn't happen unless there is some type of conversation and maybe suggestion that this is the route that the Rangers go made by Glenn Sather? That's what I sort of took away from the entire thing. And again, this is to take nothing away from Chris Drury. Drury's been there for a number of years. You know, he's turned down other opportunities for other NHL positions as general manager, in some cases just refusing to interview, you know, hoping that one day the Rangers is going to be his. But this does look to me, guys, like this was maybe not a move initiated by Glenn Sather, but this was done in concert with Glenn Sather. How about that?
I got that vibe as well when you hear about it, right? I mean, Dolan mentioned it a couple times, and everyone that covers the team regularly says, you know, it's almost like what Hesh was in The Sopranos, where he's not necessarily part of the family, but he's giving a lot of advice, and they always seek out his counsel in these instances. You know, it still blows my mind, though, that they were willing to part with Gorton, and I think more John Davidson, if only because like he left Columbus to return to MSG and return to the Rangers, and he'd only been there for a couple of years and he had that presidential role. I mean, that's not a small undertaking to kick him out the door, especially when if you look at where the club is at, there was no real reason other than Dolan got impatient with where the club was at, but the club was at where they were supposed to be because these guys came in, laid out a plan, and then executed.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like it was, you know, 5 minutes ago that Sather and Gorton were submitting that, you know, sort of resignation. The team is resigning from being competitive here for a couple of years. Hang with us while we rebuild this thing. And you're right. I think you look at what they've built up in that time through signings and trades and drafts. You have like Panarin and Fox and Lafreniere and Zibanejad, Shesterkin and Kako and Country Miller and like. Chris, man, if you're Chris Drury, didn't you just wake up to Christmas morning? Like, you weren't handed an expansion team. Like, you weren't handed a team that needs a whole lot of heavy lifting. Like, you weren't handed a rebuilding Detroit Red Wings team. Like, you're handed a team that's ready to take that next step. Like, doesn't it sort of feel like, you know, you're Stan Bowman, we just got rid of Dale Talon, and now here, this is your car to drive? It's like, whoa, look what you've handed me here. The JD thing is bizarre, only there for a couple of seasons. The Gorton thing is bizarre to me too, when you consider what they built up. But when you start to hear things like, you know, it wasn't happening fast enough. And the one thing we know about James Dolan, anyone that follows the NBA and has followed the Knicks know that this guy is impulsive. This guy is emotional. And if he thinks that things are taking too slow, he will try to speed them up. So I wonder now, if you're Chris Drury and, you know, your owner is talking about, you know, there was something that was missing from the organization, something missing from the team. And we all sort of look at, you know, toughness as being that element. And I think that what happened with Washington this week sort of sped that decision along for James Dolan. I wonder if you're Chris Drury, if once again, much like last summer, the Rangers revisit the Buffalo Sabres and the Jack Eichel discussion.
I was just going to say it.
And if I look at that Rangers team with all the potential they have, I do wonder if they're good enough down the middle. because who are their top two centers right now? Zibanejad and Strome?
Probably, yep.
So Zibanejad only has 1 year left on his deal anyway before he's an unrestricted free agent. So that one could be tough to, you know, tough to keep him. He's a great bargain right now. He's going to obviously want and deserve a raise there. But Jack Eichel, I think, with all the things, with all the assets that you've got that you could trade, you would have to pursue it, wouldn't you?
I mean, because you think about it.
Let me ask you this then. I'll just do a hypothetical, okay? This is all hypothetical. If you're the New York Rangers and the Buffalo Sabres say, okay, sure, we'll move Jack Eichel. It will cost you Lafreniere, Kako, and a first.
Man. I don't know. That's a lot. Man, that is a lot. But at the same time.
Yes, I would do it.
Yeah, because I think you can find. Well, Jason and I always say.
I would do it. You got to start winning soon.
I think you can find wingers easier than you can find a center of that caliber.
Capo Caco might just not be all that good. Lafreniere, you're gonna give him a lot more time. From what I watched of him as a junior player, I was kind of watching. I was like, "There's no way this guy could be a bust." So I think he's gonna be a player, and that would be the number one piece that you would be giving the Sabres. And I think you could sell that to the Sabres fan base too. Like it would be there might be some people that are upset about it, but you can at least sell some hope there and some pretty good players. I would do that for sure. Would you do it, Jeff?
I don't know. I'd really have to think about it. My instinct says yes, because how many chances do you get to get a player like Jack Eichel? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thought of Jack Eichel playing with Artemi Panarin is frightening to put those two together. But, I mean, that is a really expensive. Like, the thing that I always worry about, Sam Pollock used to talk about this all the time, the former great Montreal Canadiens general manager, and I think it's true. And history in the NHL has so far proven it to be true. Pollock would always say, don't give up on young players until you're 100% about it. Like, even if you're 99% that you don't think this player is going to work out, but he's young, don't do it until you're 100%. Like, how many times have we seen general managers, because, listen, I essentially think that for the past however many decades, the NHL has had a hard time understanding and handling young players. And that's more obvious now, perhaps. Than it's ever been. But how many times have you seen GMs just get frustrated at a young hockey player and quit on him, and it comes back to bite them? History is littered with these guys. That's why, you know, to the point about Capo Caco, sure, it's been underwhelming so far the first couple of seasons in the NHL, but are we 100% sure that Caco is not going to work out? You know, and Lafreniere, man, I mean, he has the potential to be a superstar.
But Jack Eichel already is.
But Jack Eichel already is.
Yeah.
That's just the thing. My gut says you do it. Mm-hmm. The only point that I was trying to make with you guys is does it not feel like, as much as the Rangers in the past, was it four seasons since the letter, or three seasons since the letter, have behaved in very un-Ranger-like fashion. They've been patient.
Yep.
There hasn't been any, you know, huge trade deadline deals. They're not seeing first round picks flying out the door. And do you not get the feeling now that we might be going back to the old Rangers style, where whenever a player is available on the market, whether it fits or not, the Rangers are in the conversation?
You know, it's funny you mention that, because I felt the exact same way when the Flyers dumped Hextall to bring in Chuck Fletcher, and what was the line that they used? A bias for action?
Yeah, which is a legitimate thing. Like, it's been studied, and obviously the Flyers company believes in that philosophy. And it's basically the philosophy of bias for action is, don't sit around waiting for stuff to happen. Make it happen. If you see a move you want to make, do it. Because it's better to do that and deal with any mistakes than to just sit there and do nothing.
And to me, that was a return to like the Ed Snyder mentality for the Flyers. So it's funny. Yeah,
it's
Rangers
an aggressive
are the same
mentality.
Way. Yeah.
It is. And listen, it's great grist for the talk radio mill. So, like, totally. Wonderful for us. So, like, you know, hooray. Like, when Ed Snyder was alive, like, Flyers were one of the most fascinating teams to follow and to watch, because you were always an Ilya Brizgalov signing away from having a wonderful show. Like, it was spectacular when he was still with us. I do wonder now what happens with this Rangers squad. And, you know, the first decision that Drury's got to make is the coach and who's around him. I'm not sure where Drury's at on Quinn. There'll be a lot of people, as you guys well know, that would want that and covet that Rangers job, especially with all the Ferraris you get to drive, whether it's, you know, Panarin or Lafreniere and Shesterkin and Nett, and that always makes things easier. And I wonder about executives that he puts around him. And one of the guys that I wonder about is Danny Briere.
Huh.
And Briere is, you know, someone that's worked with Drury before, played with Drury before, is ready to take that next step. There have been conversations with Briere and the Arizona Coyotes previous. You know, Briere is going to become, you know, I think quickly and probably this summer, that next, you know, ex-player who's ready to take another management step. You know, been working in the Philadelphia organization for a number of years at the AHL and ECHL level, learning, you know, how to do this. Not saying that that's the default for Chris Drury, that he goes to Briere, but I can see him involved in that process. So, listen, once again, the Rangers will be one of maybe the most interesting team this offseason, and anytime James Dolan starts to get his fingers in the pie, mm-hmm. you know, it can get interesting and at times messy. So let's see what the Rangers have up their sleeve, boys.
Jeff, very well said. Thank you very much for doing this. Enjoy the weekend and the rest of the week. We will talk again maybe next week, maybe the week after.
Can I have time to ask you guys one question?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Elliot and I were talking about this on the podcast. Do you think that what happened on Wednesday between the Capitals and the Rangers is a good thing or a bad thing for the NHL?
Oh, man, this was our poll question the other day.
Good thing for me. I think it was.
I think
the NHL needs. I hate using the word hate because I don't like that word in general. But is there another? Is there
sports hate? Sports hate. Just say sports hate.
Okay. Yeah. I think the NHL needs more sports hate.
I think honestly, this worked out without the NHL coming out and saying it explicitly. I think this was kind of under hushed tones and under your breath. This was how it was supposed to be played out when the suspension for Wilson didn't come and it was just a fine and it was just hanging in the air. The understood part of it was the Rangers have to go out and deal with this on their own. And as Ryan Strome said, we have to take it into our hands a little bit. And I think very quietly, the NHL nodded along, and that's what we got.
Yeah. See, I don't know that the NHL wants this all the time.
No.
But every now and then, mm-hmm. I think it's just fine. Like, there was a hysterical reaction. Oh, you're setting the game back 20 years. No, you're not. It's one night.
No, yeah,
it's we're not getting this. We're not getting 4-hour games. Every
Plus, night. There were some awesome rivalries 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And we all watched them.
Right?
Yeah. What's the best rivalry in the NHL right now?
Well, I'll tell you what. This season, you know who's had the best games? I don't know about the best rivalry, but the best games so far this season that I've seen are Minnesota and Vegas.
They have been good.
We always talk about styles making games. Minnie and Vegas have been fantastic.
Didn't one of theirs one of their games got really nasty recently, right? The Kaprizov got smoked in front of the net. Yeah, mm-hmm. right. Yeah,
yeah. Like yeah. Best rivalry. Well, right now it's Rangers Caps. The argument before that it was Caps and Boston. So maybe mm-hmm. whoever Washington is playing.
Whoever Tom Wilson is playing.
Vegas San Jose was on track to be that. Remember how violent, nasty mm-hmm. those series
were?
But then San Jose fell off.
Yeah.
Sharks cooled off, and then all of a sudden that went away. Which raises another point here. I'm going on long. You know, Ryan Reeves, before he signed with Vegas, was talking to one general manager as he was trying to figure out where he was going to land, and he famously said to this GM, you have a Tom Wilson problem, and I want you to know I'm the solution to your Tom Wilson problem.
Yeah.
I wonder what the Rangers are going to do to address this new problem that they have, which is a Tom Wilson problem. I don't think this issue is over.
John Scott.
Get him out of retirement.
Out of retirement.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Hey, look forward to seeing you guys back on TV, too. Let's go.
Let's do it. Thanks. That's Jeff Merrick here on the Halford & Brufshaw Sportsnet 650. Nephew Dom, very disappointed in all three of us. Because how's the clock looking right now, Dom? How's it looking?
You're going to have the nubbiest of nub segments coming up.
Stay tuned. Halford & Brufshaw Sportsnet 650. .653 on a Friday, Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
That's all the time you have. You need to go to break.
That was it. That was the nub. Dom calls them nub segments. It's when we run the first two way too long and we finish off at the bottom of the hour with just a tiny little segment, a nub, if you will. Old nubbies.
Well, it was such a good conversation with Jeff Merrick.
He was asking us questions. It's rude not to
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not.
You're on edge, on tilt.
Okay, Shorty's coming up next. All right. No, it's going to happen today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Shorty made his point last week. Point taken, John.
I thought that was Dom's fault.
We can talk to Shorty about last night's game and how crazy it was that the Canucks scored four goals on their first four shots, which I don't remember ever seeing in the NHL. Miko Koskinen.
You don't remember Don Beaupre in 1989?
Don't remember that, no.
It's the last time it happened.
We can talk to him about a couple Canucks pending unrestricted free agents on the blue line because it is part of our poll question today. Should the Canucks extend Alex Edler and Travis Hamonic? Hamonic had the Gordie Howe hat trick last night. I think he was the first since Bieksa. I think I read on Twitter that he was the first
studying
Canucks
up
since
on the Gordie Howe hat tricks. He now has as many Gordie Howe hat tricks as Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
I believe the broadcast said.
I hate to do this, but you guys are out of time.
Should the Canucks extend Alex Edler and Travis Hamonic? Yes to both. Only Edler, only Hamonic, or neither. And only Hamonic is winning this poll at 50%.
Yep, that's
yes
right.
To
that's
both.
The right answer.
32.8%. Neither is 12.5%. And I think this is very, very interesting. Only Edler is at 4.8%. Is that just wanting to move on, or is that worry about the price that Edler would cost?
I mean, here, put it this way. I mean, if you had put only Edler or only Hamonic and not four other options, I'm sure only Edler would have got more votes. But I think it's reflective of what I said earlier.
Mm.
I think there are a lot of people out there that are like, it's time.
Yeah.
Right? It's like graduating high school. Right?
It's almost
like I got to ditch you losers now. I've seen you for 5 years.
Is it almost like forcing management to address the issue of replacing Alex Edler?
No. Again, not even replacing. Like, they might not be able to.
Mm-hmm.
It could be very difficult.
But then they're going to stink.
That's right.
They stink now, I guess. That's the thing, right? Like, you got to do it.
Also, like graduating high
school.
Hey, Dom,
how much time have we got?
You're over.
You graduate high school and you think everything's going to be awesome mm-hmm. in college because it's new friends, new beginnings. You get your freshman year and some people.
College was awesome, though.
Yeah, but some people go into freshman year and they put on 20 pounds and it's not that great.
Yeah, but that's awesome because you're eating and you're having a lot of fun.
I don't know about that.
It's Alfred and Brupp Show on Sportsnet 650.
Stop glaring at me.
Yeah, Dom, you know what?
Glare at him.
You know who never glared at us?
You're the A-chair.
McClatchy knew that eye contact was a sign of dominance and he never tried it. He just looked down at the floor, subservient, obedient.
Hey, that's what we want from our producers.
No eye contact.
It's like when you shake it, you don't make eye contact. Okay?
Do you guys know where that's from?
No.
No?
Nature.
No. Anchorman, Veronica Corningstone.
Oh,
okay. Hey, kids. Hey. No eye contact. Really?
Why are you wasting time? We gotta go.
I'm not.
We're up against it for time.
You talk a lot. You talk a lot.
Too much talking.
Too much talking. It's Alfred and Brupp Show, Sportsnet 650.